All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
No, I'm not going to do it. Hey, Houston, how are you? H-Town, what's up? No Joel Blank today. It is the Usual Suspects replacing Joel Blank today, along with myself, Barry Laminack. We've got the effervescent Nick Sciarra. Nick, are you there, bud?
This is great radio. Can you hear me?
This is already starting off fantastic.
Yeah, this is a disaster. How you doing, bud? Can you hear me now?
I'm good. Yeah. You don't know how to operate that stuff when you're not in the producer's room, huh? You're just like, what's going on?
The best thing about this is that we can blame everything on Jose Partida. Normally, I get the blame.
Yeah.
As probably I should. Like, I deserve a lot of the blame from like the production standpoint. But now I can blame Jose Partida. So that's the beautiful part about filling in for Joel Blank.
You can Cadillac today, and Jose can take, because I'm in Wichita, if you guys don't know. And then, of course, filling in for you, producing, as we just mentioned, Jose Partida on the Wheels of Steel, the ones and twos. So I'm in Wichita, and I appreciate you guys doing the show. I know, Nick, you said you were coming in no matter what. Jose, at the last second, after Joel said he couldn't make it, we all had planned to do the show. Joel had some things come up, family things, so he couldn't do it. So, Jose, man, thanks for filling in for him today, man. Much appreciated.
I got you, Lammy.
Yeah. So, because I wanted to do this, and, we got good ratings. Our ratings are good. You want to do the show. You want to keep that momentum going. So this was important for me for the show, I think. So we're here. Should be interesting. I'd be interested to see, like, what does it look like around there? Is it just desolate? Is there no one there?
Yeah, it's pretty empty in the hallways. Plus, it's raining. So it's kind of a depressing day in studio in terms of, like, the liveliness in the hallways. Normally, there's a lot of people walking around crazy with papers in their hand. Nope, it's Labor Day.
Yeah,
they can't really enjoy it on the, you know, they can't throw steaks on the grill because it's just terrible. I don't know how it is in Wichita right now, but it's just a rainy day down here in Houston.
So, yeah, it's raining, but every day in Wichita is a depressing day because it's Wichita. It's the saddest city that I've ever been to in terms of doing comedy and hanging out.
I would put San Antonio above Wichita, right?
Oh, like what? As far as places to visit that are good?
No, like sadness.
Oh, God, no. No.
Wichita's worse?
Dude, I'm telling you, they're the main, you know how every city, like Houston, we're known for oil and medical. That's the two industries. The biggest industry in Wichita is depression. It's the biggest, it's the saddest. I don't know what it is about this town, but I don't know. I haven't been to the outskirts of Wichita because I don't know, like, you know, where that is exactly. But where I'm at, there's probably three homeless people for every non-homeless person.
Wow. It's that bad?
Yeah. And then there's like five geese for every homeless person. I don't know why. And then there's 10 crickets for every goose that's around. It's the weirdest thing. Like, I went out. I'm staying in the condo, and I opened the door to go outside to get coffee my first morning. There were 1,000 crickets that just swarmed the door and rushed inside the hallway of the condo. And I was like, is this – there's no roaches. So I'm thinking, is this their version of roaches, crickets? Is this what they – because they were just everywhere. I was just like, man, this is like, these are like redneck roaches. That's what this is.
Yeah, I can only imagine because I've never been to Wichita, obviously.
Lucky you.
Yeah, but I did notice that, did you get a speeding ticket en route to Wichita or was that in Wichita?
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up. I totally forgot about that. I had blocked that out. Yeah, so I'm driving through Oklahoma and I'm listening to a book on tape. Shout out to Chris Householder for the hookup. And I'm right at the Oklahoma-Kansas border, and I have Waze on my phone. And Waze, 99% of the time, Waze is going to tell you, there's a cop up here, so
yeah,
slow down.
Waze is legit in that regard.
Yeah. Guess what? Waze missed this one. So I'm 85 and a 70 at the Oklahoma-Kansas border, and as soon as I see the cop, I just put on my blinker and start pulling. He doesn't even have his lights on yet. I was just like, yep, this is not – So I just start pulling over. Sure enough, he puts his lights on, gets up behind me, and he comes up to my passenger side window. I roll the window down. Now, I look like I'm homeless and a drug addict because I have taken my shoes off. So I'm in sweat shorts and a tank top. And my shoes are in the seat next to me, and my socks are in my shoes. So I'm barefoot in a tank top and sweatshorts. The back seat of my truck is just filled with junk. It's got my suitcase. It's got my like koozies. It's got a sleeping bag.
But not in any organized fashion. It's just thrown back there.
Yeah, it's just disheveled stuff everywhere. Of course. And there's trash on the floor on the passenger side.
I've seen your truck.
Yeah. And he opens the window and goes, "How's it going?" I was like, "Yeah. Hi." He goes, "I got you doing 85 and a 70. I said, "Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I wasn't paying attention. I'm listening to a book on tape and was kind of into it." He goes, "Oh, what book are you listening to?" And I was like, "Ooh, this is ironic. It's called The Subtle Art of Not Giving an F." And I can't say the whole... The book is actually The Subtle Art of Not Giving a F, but I can't say it.
Whoa.
But I told him, he was like, "Seriously?" I was like, "Yeah, that's kind of ironic." And then he goes, "Super ironic. How about your license?"
You were getting a ticket if he answers like that.
Dude, so I gave him, and I couldn't find my insurance. It was on my phone, but he was like, "I'll be back." So he goes down to the car. He comes back. He goes, "So is the book good?" I was like, "It's pretty good. It's pretty inspiring. I mean, obviously, it made me do 85 and a 70. And he started laughing. He goes, "Where are you headed?" I said, "Wichita. I'm a comedian." He goes, "All right, cool." He goes, "Listen, here's what I did. I knocked the ticket down to a class one, so it shouldn't affect your insurance. It's a $100 fine. You can pay it online, whatever." So he was cool in that regard. Then he was like, "So tell me what the book's about." So then we just chopped it up for 10 minutes on the side of the road about this book and being inspired, and it was super weird.
That dude has nothing to do. So where is this exactly?
In the middle of nowhere between Wichita and Oklahoma City.
Well, the positive is that you can just pay, because that's exactly what I would have done. I would actually called my lawyer. But if you can just pay the ticket and it not affect your driving record, I've never seen a situation like that. So I guess you can just pay the ticket and not worry, you don't have to worry about making that trip back to wherever it was, whatever small town that was.
Yeah, I'm certainly not driving back there to fight it in court. But he did say, because since it was 85, I guess it's like a, I don't know, class two or whatever. But he said, the ticket says I was doing 80 but in a 70. So like the first class of the ticket, I guess, is 80 at 1 mile to 10 miles over.
I love how cops talk. I love how cops talk like they're doing you a favor when they do that. Look, I'm giving you a ticket, but instead of putting 18 or 20 over, I'm putting just 10. Bitch, yeah. It's still a ticket. It's not really going to, exactly. It's not going to affect anything.
If you want to do me a favor, give me a warning.
Yeah.
That's like my dad would be like, "Look, I'm going to whoop your ass, but I'm not going to whoop it 10 times. I'm going to whoop it 5. After the first one, it don't matter.
Yeah.
That first one is the one that hurts.
Yeah. I don't get that either. But I guess he was doing you a favor. I would have paid the ticket. When the last time I got a ticket on the road was going to Dallas, and I just paid it. So it went on my record. I got like 2 points or whatever.
Did your insurance go up?
No. I think it only goes up after so many times. Like, and then the points get reset after a certain amount of time.
Right. So I'll probably, what I'll do is just pay the fine and then take defensive driving and have that applied to my insurance, because that should offset it.
Which I still got to finish, man. They gave me 60 days. I think I got like 10 days left. I got to finish that stupid...
Is it online?
Online defensive driving course. And I need to pay somebody. Jose, would you pay? Can I pay you 40 bucks?
And to do it for you?
A 6-hour course.
40 bucks for 6 hours.
I've done that before. I know I'm incriminating myself.
Yeah, you are. Why are you saying this? You know where this is on the air, right?
Like, well, I mean, it's an online thing. What they do is they ask you questions that only you should know. Like, what was the color of the second car that you owned? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Was it a 94? Was it a gray 94? You know, Geo Metro? Or was it a 97 Toyota? That's what they do. So as long as you provide answers.
How long do they give you? How long do they give you? Because he could just text you and be like, "Nick, what was your second car?" "Oh, it was a Geo Storm." "All right, cool." And then just type that in.
Exactly. Exactly. I've done this before. I've thought this out. I've done this before.
You're like, why don't you go to the joke joint? Do the comedy defensive driving.
Yeah.
I actually always do the comedy defensive driving, but I do the online version of it. I didn't know the joke joint does its own. I didn't know that.
Yeah, the joke joint has it. I think improv, I think, did it. There's a lot of comedy defensive driving, which I've had people ask me to teach that, and I'm like, Nah, I don't see how I could make, like, I know guys that do it and they're super funny and they're really into it, but I'm like, I don't think I have the patience for that.
Yeah.
I used to teach IT and that drove me insane. That was the worst experience of my life, was teaching idiots to use a computer. You want to talk about testing your patience. This one guy, so I used to, I taught at this place called C-Trek, and they're not around anymore, I don't think. But I was teaching Office and like Windows 95. That's how long ago this was.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I'm teaching Office to this group of veterans. And this one guy, I'm teaching him about Windows and this thing called profiles. And a profile, this is how I describe it. I said, essentially, a profile is like this. Let's say you set your background on your computer to be a cat. Okay. And then you log out of that computer, you go down the hall, you log into another computer, your profile follows you. So when you log into that second computer down the hall, once it applies your profile, your background is your cat again. I mean, that's a pretty simple explanation of a profile, right?
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward.
This dude raises his hand. I was like, yeah, what's up? You have a question? He goes, yeah, where'd you get the cat? What? Where'd you get your cat from? What are you talking about? Are you even paying this has nothing to do with the cat. He was like, what kind of cat was it? I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna kill myself right now. Like, you, no, so yeah, teaching sucks. I couldn't imagine people that don't want to be there. Like, these are people that wanted to learn computers. No one wants to be in defensive driving.
Yeah. I registered my mom for one computer class and she literally left 3 minutes into the class. She was like, I have no business on a computer. I like my iPhone and Facebook and that's about it. So
yeah, it's brutal.
Yeah. All right, I don't see how you have the patience to teach that, to be honest with you.
I did it for 3 years,
but you've
years.
Been, you're kind of a teacher. I mean, weren't you like a two-stepping instructor for a while? What else did you teach?
Yeah.
You taught a lot. Taught
line dancing. Yeah.
Yep.
It's pretty much, I did.
But there was some other gig that you taught, something else. I forgot what it was.
I did a couple comedy, like emceeing classes or seminars here in town. But
ever an improv class?
No, not an improv class, an emceeing class. Like,
which was packed, by the way. Improv was packed this weekend. I don't know who was performing, but it was packed. Is it always that packed?
Was it D.O. Hughley this weekend?
Oh, is that what it was?
It might have been. Yeah, yeah. That wouldn't surprise me one bit.
We had the SB Nation Radio fantasy draft at the Marquee Center, at Big City Wings inside the Marquee Center.
Nice.
And so when I walked past it, that's when I noticed the incredible line.
What fantasy draft was this?
SB Nation Radio.
Oh.
The network side, yeah.
How'd you do?
I did all right. I mean, I got Antonio Brown and Diggs. But then because there's 14 people in the league, there's like a massive drop-off. Like, you'll have one or two stars. And then it really thins out. So
I had a draft Thursday, and I didn't even get to participate because I had a show.
You auto picked?
Yeah, I don't know. AJ sent me a picture. He's like, "Are you going to draft?" I was like, "Bro, I'm literally about to hit the stage. Like, I can't." But he sent me a picture of my team. I was like, "That's probably better than I'd have done."
Who do you have?
I got to go back and look because I honestly haven't even logged in yet. Like, I literally, I've been out of touch quite a bit.
But, someone in the draft, Nick's talking about drafted three kickers. I think they were on auto draft too, weren't they?
Yep. And then Tony D drafted the guy who tore his – it came out that day. It's the running back from the 49ers. What was his name? What's his name? And he tore his ACL that day, God. And he's out for the season, and then his auto draft picked him up. I forgot who that 49ers
I better not laugh. That might have happened to me. I need to go check my team.
Jerick McKinnon is his name.
Oh, nice. Good for him.
And he was supposed to be something – he was supposed to be something special, but apparently he got he tore his ACL. But yeah.
Ugh.
So we're here till 4, right?
Yep, we are.
How happy are you that Joel's not in studio? Don't lie.
I mean.
Don't lie.
Scale of 1 to 10. 37.
He deserved that shot because he backed out at the last minute.
He did.
I'm just saying.
He did.
Just saying.
We got a fun show planned. We got a lot of stuff to get to. I've got more Wichita stories. I've got to tell you guys about the funniest thing in 5-6 years of comedy that's ever happened to me. And it's. I think you'll enjoy it. I got some audio for it. But we got a lot of that. We got a lot of Astros to cover, some college football to talk about, NFL cuts happen. So good show. A lot of fun stuff planned. Crazy lady that beats up a bus. Do not go anywhere. This is the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You gonna answer it? answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to The Usual Suspects. It's Barry, Nick, and Jose Partida with you until 4 p.m. No blitz today, right? We're the last
just Palillo and us in terms of local programming, and then it goes back to national. Yep.
Just Palillo and The Usual Suspects in terms of shows that actually care about the listeners and will be here for them no matter what.
I knew Palillo was going to be here. Yeah. I didn't expect Joel to back out last minute like that, but
I mean, I kind of did. You could tell when he said he was in, he wasn't in. He was 40% in. He was.
Well, like, I was in too, and then I changed my mind.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was. Man, I want to enjoy this Labor Day, but I'm not going to be here tomorrow, so I kind of need to take advantage of this calm day. Yeah.
See, I'm the same way. I drove up Thursday, couldn't work Friday because y'all were on remote. I was like, well, I need the comp day. But mostly because I love the people. Nothing to do with the comp day, although it helps.
You guys are getting comp days?
I mean, no. We're like...
We don't get comp days. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's up in the air.
We're on the air? You got to say hot when our mic is on, Jose.
Yeah, he told me hot. He didn't tell you hot. He just... That's because you're not hot. All right, so let's get to this Seal Lady thing. Well, by the way, before I do that, I just wanted to... Have you guys watched a show on Netflix called The Push?
I have not. Jose?
No.
Oh, my God. So we're sitting in the condo a couple of days ago, and the manager comes in, and he's hanging out. He's like, have you guys seen The Push? I was like, no, because I watched this show called The Magic of Humans or something like that. It's just this dude that goes around doing street magic. It's actually really entertaining. He's really funny. Does a lot of good stuff. He makes this guy think he's invisible. He gets this whole crowd to pretend like they can't see this guy, so this guy thinks he's invisible.
It's actually funny.
Yeah, it's good. But this thing called The Push is this guy who's doing a social experiment. He wants to see if he could convince someone to murder somebody. And it is – I don't want to ruin the whole thing for you if you haven't seen it, but basically in an hour he gets this guy to the point where he's like, you need to push him off the building. And then this guy has to decide if he's going to push this guy off this building or not. Dude, it's the most fascinating thing because he's basically like it's just to see if you can manipulate people. And so he starts off with these small little manipulations, right? Like just these little things where he's like they're in this – this guy goes to this auction, this celebrity or charity auction, and he's in the back with these famous people, and then they all leave and he's hanging out. And this guy's like, hey, would you help me? I just need to put these vegetarian things on these sausage rolls because we're out. And so he's like, sure, why not? So he does it. And so they're like, okay, he's in now. He's already doing things he shouldn't be doing. He's helping out. And they literally build off of that one thing. And an hour later, after his dead body and all these things, it was the most fascinating thing to watch. And because I'm thinking to myself, would I do this? Could you trick me into getting this far? And I felt like I would have probably been about halfway through what this guy went through. So I don't want to ruin it for anybody. I don't want to be, you know, a lot of people maybe haven't seen it. But, dude, put it on your list to watch, and maybe we can talk about it later in the week. It's called The Push.
They basically made a show, like a social – like it's a show that's a massive social experiment is basically what it is.
And these people don't know they're in on it. Like the whole – everyone around this person at this charity auction is an actor. He's the only one that does – and he doesn't know it's being filmed. And so, like, there's this – it involves, like, this guy that has a heart attack. They hide the body. He's helping this dude hide a dead body. And he's like – but he's freaking out the whole time. And then the dead body basically, you know, they have to make certain decisions and all this other stuff. It's super fascinating. And I don't want to ruin it for anybody. I don't want to be, you know, the Blitz sometimes ruins shows for people.
Yeah. Let's it is real. Definitely something I got to check out. I am kind of upset that, cause I was planning on starting the second season of Ozark cause it came out, I think last week.
I saw that.
Didn't get a chance to catch it. You probably didn't either considering how busy you were.
No, hell, I barely got to watch sports this weekend.
But I made this assumption that one of your shows got canceled or they overbooked or something like that on Sunday. Was that true?
No.
So you did perform on Sunday night?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Last night.
I saw an email saying something about being overbooked, and I was like, man, did Barry drive all the way to Wichita and not have a show?
Oh, no, that was for that was for Friday. That was for, I was on the station here.
Yeah, and I was kind of, I didn't say that your show got canceled, but I was like, I don't know
if
Barry's even doing a show.
I'm in the studio I'm at is at KFH Sports Radio, and they wanted me to come in and do, I was going to come in and promote my show at the Looney Bin here this weekend, and then I was going to talk, you know, Texans and Rockets and stuff on the radio. They overbooked that show, so they were like, hey, do you mind? I was like, no, it'll just save me the drive. I mean, I'm not doing anything today. This was going Friday.
Okay.
I was going to come in after our show at 4 o'clock. I was going to do their afternoon drive at 4:30.
Yeah, I was afraid it was another one of those situations where, I don't know what happened. When was the last time this happened to you, but I think you drove all the way to Dallas or maybe Oklahoma. And then
the show
they had
got
canceled. Well, yeah, they had booked, I guess, another comedian, someone funnier or something like that.
Yep. It was Dallas.
It was Dallas.
Someone funnier.
I heard that, little bastard. yeah, it was, no, but this was just radio-wise. They were overbooked on the radio show. No, all my shows went off. It was fun. And speaking of that, so I've been doing this 5 years, five-plus years, and Saturday night was the weirdest, funniest thing that's ever happened to me on stage. Now, I want to make sure I set this up appropriately, right? So it's a pretty small venue, and I always record my sets when I go on stage because I want to make sure if I say anything or do a joke or something off the cuff that I could capture that and maybe use it for later. Plus, I use it like any athlete. I'll evaluate my set. I'll listen to it. I'll be like, this sucked. I could do this better. I liked this. I'll incorporate that. So I always record my sets. Well, this lady, you know, there's always weird laughs at a comedy club. There's always weird laughs, and sometimes they stand out. But I have never in my life heard what I heard that night. And the best way I could describe it is that this lady laughed like a seal, okay? I'm not talking like a subtle, like I went back to see if you could hear it on the recording, and you can definitely hear just this, the whole time. And so I wanted to play this for you guys. This starts off like I'm about 5 minutes into my set. I open with my Hurricane Harvey jokes because it's from Houston and it's the, you know, I'm from Houston. So I usually start like the first minute. I just crap all over Wichita and I talk about their homeless people and all that stuff and make fun of the city. And then I make, you know, and then I do Houston stuff. So this is kind of at the tail end of my Hurricane Harvey bit. Some of you may have seen it on Facebook, but just take a listen and really listen for the seal lady. And then you're going to get to see my reaction and what took place on stage.
People are like, are you Presbyterian? No, I'm Posturpedic. That's what I am. That's what I do now. Yeah, in the name of the headboard, the footboard, the box springs, and the mattress. Amen. That's what I do. Thank you, Jesus.
Now, pause right there, Jose. Pause right there, Jose. Now, you have to understand that I said thank you, Jesus, because I just knew that the next 10 minutes was just going to be me making fun of this lady.
She set you up perfectly.
Dude, I was literally like, this isn't happening. This has to be the best thing. What a weird ass laugh.
At some point, she had to have noticed, though, that laugh of hers. Like, at some point in her life. How old is this lady? Just real quick.
Oh, she's probably like mid to late 30s.
Wow.
And I asked her that after the show. I was like, what's the deal with your laugh? She goes, oh, I don't know. He always makes me go to comedy clubs, and this always happens. So I was like, wow. But you'll see, like, they sat her up front, and I addressed that. So keep going, Jose. Go ahead.
Jesus was watching. Especially after I wrote that Joel Osteen joke. He's real, y'all. And he's here tonight. Brought me a gift. Holy shit, it's a good thing nobody's taping a special right now. I'm like, they let a seal in that? What? I've heard of a service dog, but they have a service seal. It's like, it just makes me feel calm, that's all. Oh my God, this is... trying to make it through 30 minutes of this. I don't know. Because, ma'am, I feel like I get funnier as I go, so. We're going to try to ignore this and pretend that that never happened, y'all. I have a feeling that is going to dominate the rest of the evening, though, if I'm being real.
She wouldn't stop. Like, she just don't.
Sorry, you go take a sip of water or something. You good? Wow, I can't believe they put you up front. Did you warn them? Did you tell them, like, hey, I kind of laugh weird?
She's literally in the front row at the stage. Pause right there, Jose. Now, her husband, when I brought it up, I was like, man, what the hell? And then you could hear him at the beginning. He goes, I married that. And so he knew, he set her up. He made her sit up there, which I thought, what a dick. Like,
and apparently more than once.
Yeah. Well, so yeah, at other times I was like, what? She goes, I've never been called a seal. I've been called a donkey. Someone called me a penguin, which is weird.
Yeah.
But she was like, yeah, this
no,
is
No, I like seal. I think seal's more appropriate.
I mean, it kind of does sound like a seal, right?
I would think so. That would be the first thing that popped up in my mind.
It was we don't even have to play the rest of it because you get the idea. But my God, dude, the whole night, it was just, I would do a joke and then she'd go, and then the whole place would lose it and I would have to stop. And we would have to address it, and then I would do another joke. I was just – there was no way I was going to get any work done. It was the funniest thing, though, man. I swear.
And, of course, your eyes lit up because there was no way you were going to let that go.
I'm laughing so hard I'm crying on stage. I have never laughed that hard on stage.
That's what I figured it was, like when those long pauses of just laughter, pauses of you not talking.
Yeah.
Like how much of a breakdown did you have?
Dude, I couldn't hold it together. Like, I'm literally just losing my crap on stage. I've never in my life heard anything like that. So,
I love the fact that he's setting up his wife, and this happens all the time, according to her.
Yeah, yeah. She's like, well, we've been to like 6 or 7 shows, and every time, even when we're in the back, they hear it. I'm like, yeah, everybody can hear it. Like, at one point, she was laughing. I just put the microphone down there. And it was going out over the speakers. It just sounds amazing. It was the best. I don't know. I felt like, you know, after 5 years, God was like, here, you can have this for one night and this will be fun. It was
so overall, you had a great, great trip in Wichita.
Yeah, man, it was a good time, dude. It was even though it's a depressing city, it was a cool time. And the club is great. So,
and this is a 9-hour drive. So you still have a 9-hour drive ahead of you.
Yeah, I'm leaving after the show. My truck is packed. As soon as we get off air, I'm headed to Houston, so that'll be another 9. Yeah, so I'll probably get in about 2 in the morning. I'm guessing. Yeah.
How do you stay awake for 9 hours, dude? Like, I can't. By yourself.
Living that comedy life, man. Yeah. You know, it's glamorous. What can I say? All right, we got a lot to get to, man. I watched a few college games. I know you did too. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Astros. The lineup change in the Astros. Something I did not get to see, but that kind of surprised me. We will discuss that and more right here. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Restaurant to go to?
Do you know where I could find an organic Vietnamese taco truck around here?
Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news from Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to The Usual Suspects. Barry, Nick, and Jose Partida with you until 4 p.m., at which point, what are we running it for? Is it the best of the Blitz or is it something else, Jose?
It's the network. We're going back to ESPN.
Oh, we're going ESPN
The national,
national
feed, yep.
Okay.
All right. Only local feeds that you got, I believe, was from 11 a.m. to 4. Charlie Palillo from 11 to 1 and then us from 1 to 4.
Bet. All right, cool. Good deal. Eric Resenda said, that just made my day with the seal sound. after the day plans were canceled because of the rain. Yeah, that sucks, man. I know a lot of y'all were going to be out there barbecuing and getting your eat on, so that does suck. But I ain't mad. I needed the rain, so I'm good. And, yeah, all seals love rain, so there you go. A couple of texts before we get into some college football talk. Barry, it's my birthday. Can I get a shout-out? My name is Brandon. No.
Happy birthday, Brandon.
Yeah, happy birthday, bud. Just kidding. Any thoughts on Eminem's new album? Ooh.
He has a new album out?
Yeah, it came out on
and I've heard it's really good.
Jose's on it. Did you listen, Jose? Or
yeah, it's not bad.
Is he
Why
still,
did your voice go up 9 octaves just now? Why was that? Yeah,
yeah,
it's not bad.
It's good.
Why did you do that?
I don't know. It's just a thing I do.
Because you don't like it, you rely.
So Astroworld or Eminem's new album?
Astroworld.
I was going to say, you know why he's going Astroworld? Because he got the shoes. And so he's just a Travis Scott honk.
I was just going to say, he's got to be a Travis Scott guy. I would imagine, I expected. I don't think Eminem is like his lyrical approach. I'm not going to say it's dated. I'm just saying it may not be for the new era, is what I'm saying.
The mumble rappers, the slow
well,
down.
Well, see, the thing is, I don't want to put an entire label, like, I don't want to dub the new era of hip hop listeners as the mumble era, because I think there's some mumble guys and there's, you know, Travis Scott is one of them, right, Jose? Is that safe to say?
No, I don't think so.
He's an auto-tune guy. He's a process my voice guy.
Yeah, he does use auto-tune.
But he's not a mumble guy. He's not classified as a mumble guy?
No.
Who is?
I guess like guys like 21 Savage and Lil Yachty and Designer, I think was his name.
Designer is a mumble guy. Yeah, for sure. Lil Yachty too, but I don't know about 21 Savage.
I like him.
I have no idea who any of those cats are, so that'll tell you how old I am now. I mean, I know who Lil Yachty is, but I couldn't name any other songs than the one I know. So you've listened to the Eminem album, correct?
Sir, yes, sir.
Okay. Is it worth purchasing?
No, it is worth streaming. It is worth taking a listen, I think.
Okay. So is it because it's not the, is it old school Eminem, or is he trying to wedge what he does into the new era of hip hop?
I think it's a, there is like senses of his older stuff, but it, the new Eminem, though, how he raps now, there's a lot of fast paced rapping. The thing with Eminem, at least as far as I'm concerned, is I still think he's a good rapper, but in terms of putting a whole project together into a cohesive album, I just don't think he can do that anymore. And okay. I mean, it is what it is. It's everyone eventually falls off, quote unquote, right?
Except Jay-Z and a few others, right?
Yeah, I just think it's different. You know, I don't know if Eminem has fallen off, but I do think that his approach is, it's almost too late for him to change. And that if he does, he can evolve the way he raps a little bit to a certain extent, but
what bothers me about him is like, it's almost every other album that he releases, he has to do like damage control, because one of his albums will get panned and then he'll release another album and he'll talk about how bad that previous album was.
Right.
And I'm like, why did you release it in the first place if you knew it was bad?
Yeah. I don't like that approach either.
Well, I'm going to listen to it on my drive home, so I will be reporting tomorrow whether it's good or bad. I'll let you know.
Yeah, I haven't listened to it either. I haven't really listened to Astroworld either, and I guess that's...
I did.
Did you like it?
It was okay. There were a couple of good songs. For the most part, though, no.
It's too long.
I think there were two songs that I enjoyed. The rest
of it. What do you mean too long? Is there too many songs on the album?
I believe it's 17 songs.
But that's a new trend because Migos did that too. They have like 3,276 songs on their second album.
That was annoying.
I don't know why they do that.
Astroworld starts off pretty well. It kind of drags on a little bit towards the middle though.
I was surprised. This probably would shock you, but I was surprised how much I enjoyed Drake's Scorpion album. I didn't think I would like it. I'm not a Drake fan.
I liked it too. I think it's a good album, though.
So I'll listen. I'll get back to y'all tomorrow.
Tracy Cowley says Pac-Man Joel cannot comment on his boobs. I can comment on your boobs.
Out. Did I retweet that?
Distracting.
They're very distracting. Yeah, I retweeted it. She's wearing an LSU shirt that says "We're not snobs," but it's stretched out. If you know what I'm saying, across the chest. If you were to take that off and like just lay it on a bed, it's just a W, an N, and an S. And then when you stretch it out, you see that we're not snobs. Just go to my Twitter. That's very funny. You'll see it.
We have Eric on the line. Do you want to go to break, or do you want to hold over, or what do you want to do?
Let's do it. We'll get back to some college football. So what does Eric want to talk about?
Eric, welcome to the Usual Suspects. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. I just have a quick question, and I'll hang up and listen. Who gets fired first, Jim Harbaugh or Tom Herman? And the guy at Ohio State says he has more evidence against Tom Herman that he's going to come out soon. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, man.
You want to go first, Barry, or you want me to go first?
Go ahead.
I mean, I think if at this rate, I think it's Tom Herman. I mean, there was kind of a close situation in yesterday's game against Maryland. He was able to turn things around. I questioned some of Tom Herman's play calling situations, but I would say Tom Herman. What Harbaugh's been able to do for Michigan in such a short amount of time, I think gives him a little bit more of a leash. And I think his personality works better with the student athlete as opposed to the professional level at the NFL. But that's my personal opinion.
Yeah, here's the thing. Harbaugh can still salvage this season, and I know that that sounds kind of crazy, but you were 14th coming in. You lost to the number 12 team in Notre Dame. This is if everything holds up on that schedule, you still have Michigan State, who's 11th right now. Penn State is 10th. You're going to play Ohio State at the end of the year. If you win though, if you win out, if Michigan wins out, they could still potentially win the Big Ten, make it to a playoff, potentially. A lot of things would have to fall into place, obviously. Now they lose again, they're done. I don't know if Texas has what it takes to be able to win out, first of all. And I don't know if, you know, depending on how good the Big 12 is, if they're up or down. I feel like that, you know, Harbaugh still being able to salvage the season and the fact that this stuff isn't over at Ohio State with Tom Herman and what went on in Florida and the strippers and everything else. So that might come into play, too. Don't sleep on that as being a factor. Texas, you know, I know they want to win, but you can't just come out, lose to Maryland, and get embarrassed when you crack the top 25 opening up the season and then have all this controversy swelling around you, too. I don't think it'll happen this year for either of them, to be honest.
I'm kind of with you because
but he's on a short leash.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at his schedule, especially in the event that they went out, like you mentioned, I mean, they still got Ohio State. They've got Michigan State. They've got Wisconsin, who's ranked at number 4. So they've got a bunch of big games that if they capitalize on, they're still going to be in the discussion. Notre Dame, on the other hand, they still have some tough games, but I don't think it's to the extent that Michigan has. So I think it's easier for Michigan to bounce back from this loss than it would have been if it was Notre Dame. But that's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, I want to look at Texas' schedule. I don't know. I need to look that up. But let's see real quick. Before we go to break, I know we need to go. Yeah, so they still have Oklahoma. That'll be good. West Virginia if they hang in there. But that's pretty much it as far as ranked teams go. Oh, I'm sorry, TCU.
West Virginia.
USC. Yeah, yeah. So they've got 4 ranked teams, but not as high. I don't know. I just don't think Texas with that loss is going to be able to climb back. They have to run the table as well. And you have to have teams, like you said, like West Virginia, TCU. They have to hold up for the whole year and keep those rankings and after they get beat. So could be a tough row to hoe for Texas and Tom Herman. We'll talk more college football on the other side. Eric, thank you for the call. Right now, though, let's talk a little food. Let's talk a little Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. Guys, I actually had somebody hit me up on Instagram yesterday, I think it was, yesterday or the day before, and they were like, dude, I really thought you hyped this up too much. You even talk about people who say this. I'm a believer. I finally got out here. I had the Himalayan Heat Burger. It was as good as you say it is. Guys, you're going to love Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. And I'm telling you, go out there, eat it, and then hit me up on Instagram, Twitter, whatever it is, and let me know what you thought. Give me your honest opinion, because so far, every listener that has listened to me talk about Cowboys and Indians for a year now that has gone out there has gotten back to me and said how much they absolutely love it and how right I was about how good that food is. Tons of stuff for you to choose from. And if you're new, maybe you're new to the show or new to Cowboys and Indians, don't know what it is, it's a fusion of Southern comfort and Indian food. So you can have chicken fried steak. You can have chicken curry. They're known for some of the best butter chicken in the city of Houston. And they have one of the best hamburgers in the city of Houston. It's called the Himalayan Heat Burger. Try that. My go-to meal, because this is the other thing people ask me about. All right, I'm going to go to Cowboys and Indians. What do I get? And I always say it depends on what you want. If you're looking for Indian food, try the butter chicken. But if you're just wanting to eat and get full, start off with the non-quesadillas. Those are quesadillas made with naan bread. Then get the Himalayan Heat Burger. Top it off with a red velvet cake. Man, you are going to go home full and happy, and that's what it's all about. Haas and his crew out there do a great job. They've got a full-service bar, TVs to watch the games, and if you don't want to leave the house, you can have Cowboys and Indians delivered to your door via DoorDash, Uber Eats, or Grubhub. Hit them up on Instagram. It's CNI713. You can see all the delicious food that they serve. CNI713 on Facebook as well. 1901 Taft in Midtown. Guys, whatever you do, take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world. It's Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen, y'all. There's nothing like it. Got the keys into my city, now she notarized. Got new money, got new problems, got new enemies. When you make it to the top, it's the amenities.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to The Usual Suspects. Barry, Nick, and Jose Partita with you until 4 o'clock, and then we'll have some national programming for you guys to enjoy. If you want to get in touch with the show, 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-ESPN is how you can reach us. You can call. You can also text that number, 713-780-3776. I'll be checking the text lines. You can hit us up on Twitter, at the producer Nick, at ParJ94, and at Barry is funny on Twitter for all your Twitter needs. You can reach us there as well. You can tag one of us, all of us, doesn't matter. You can hit up Pac-Man Joel and tell him that he sucks for not coming in today. That's at Pac-Man Joel with a K if you want to do that. So a lot of college football. Man, I was nervous. So the condo that I'm staying at, we don't have a TV. They have a TV, but no cable. So it's literally Netflix and that's it.
So you got that little antenna that you're trying to adjust perfectly attached to a coat hanger and trying to get that signal, that HD signal.
Rabbit ears would have been great. They didn't even have that. Like, this is literally Netflix and that's it. So I was debating, do I try to go to a sports bar? And then I realized maybe I can watch some college football on my laptop. And I ended up figuring it out. So I got to watch some, not a lot, but I got to watch some football. I didn't get to watch the full slate of games. I did get to watch the the OU game. Not a big surprise there. I think a lot of people overestimated Florida Atlantic and maybe underestimated Oklahoma a bit because of Tyler Murray being at quarterback and not Baker Mayfield. So
Lane Kiffin took a beat down, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And I kind of felt like that. Like, that was my pick for our ESPN Pick'em Challenge, whatever the hell. What are we calling that thing, by the way?
It just says it just said Pick'em on my subject line.
So if you guys don't know, basically all of the ESPN on-air guys have thrown in $20 into a pool. We're picking two games a week. Winner take all. Loser has to buy Big City Wings. So we have to pick a certain game. So that's why I picked this game, because I really felt like that Florida Atlantic wasn't as good as maybe people thought they were. And that Oklahoma was going to be a little bit better. Defense maybe a little bit improved. The quarterback play might be better. Tyler Murray's more experienced. So that didn't surprise me too much. Although, man, there were some times that they made it look way too easy. But there were a lot of surprises on the day. Starting with Nick's favorite team, University of Texas. That's not your favorite team, I know.
It's not.
Texas falls to Maryland 34-29, and we discussed it a little bit based on Eric's question in the last segment, but already people not happy out in Austin with Tom Herman and the Fighting Longhorns.
It's not a good look for Tom Herman right now when you consider the expectations, when you consider what comes along with being the head of a program like the University of Texas, who many might argue was to some, maybe is the biggest college football program. I know USC might have something to say about that and a bunch of other programs. But Tom Herman's play calling, I felt like, was just not on point. I feel like decision-making alone could have helped Texas perform better against a team that they're supposed to beat. But for whatever reason, Maryland, I guess going back, 2 years or at least the last season, they do well against Texas and Tom Herman for whatever reason.
I saw some tweet or something like that where I retweeted it. Maryland is 2-22 against ranked teams. Both of those wins are Texas. Against Texas.
Yeah.
That's
not a good look if you're Tom Herman.
No, that's got to suck. And, of course, I didn't get to watch the game, but I did get to see some highlights. I did get to see the fact that at the beginning of the game, Maryland was missing their right guard. I forget the gentleman's name who passed away back in May during spring drills. And it was Jordan McNair. And he had collapsed and then died 2 weeks later following a heat stroke. And so first play of the game that Maryland had the ball, they did not go out there with a right guard. They had 10 men out there. There was a hole in the offensive line. They let the play clock wind down to zero. And in a class move, and hats off to him, Tom Herman declined the penalty, and then everybody played on. So I thought that was a pretty poignant moment. But man, after that, it was all downhill for Texas after that.
I mean, there was just too many opportunities for them to score, and they didn't. I think there was a fumble by one of the running backs. I think there was a dumb interception by Sam Ehlinger. And then I think there was a game-ending interception as well. They just weren't hitting on all cylinders. When you every time you have an opportunity to score, and that drive ends up in a turnover,
yeah.
you're not gonna win that game. And after the game, Tom Herman had some words about the performance.
That's on me. The slow start's on me. I felt like our guys were trying so hard to be perfect. Because they wanted this so bad, and we got to find a way to relax our guys coming out of the tunnel, and make sure that we can play loose and not play so tight.
You don't want to get off to a slow start, but I don't know if it was a slow start that really hindered them. It was the opportunity after opportunity that was presented to them, and they didn't capitalize on it. That's what I feel like.
Yeah, and you know, they've got Tulsa up next, so they can work on some things. Tulsa's not a good football team by any stretch of the imagination. Maryland wasn't. I mean, they're not horrible. Don't get me wrong. I don't think Maryland's going to finish in the top 25 this year, but they've got some work to do, and they've got Tulsa to do that against. Because I tell you what, man, there's a real possibility that Texas could, by the time they get past Oklahoma, they might just be a two-win team, because they've got Tulsa. Then they play USC, who's 15th. I got to go back and look and see what USC did. 16th. After that, 9-22, they play TCU. Then they've got a gimme really against Kansas State, and then Oklahoma. It's possible going to that Baylor game in the middle of October that they only have two wins. And man, Tom Herman. Now you can start talking about Tom Herman on the hot seat already.
Yeah,
if he doesn't
USC
win at least one or two of those games against ranked opponents.
Yeah, I saw something in some sort of, I don't know which headline or a blog, but this might be the shortest stint. I'm not trying to make anybody panic, but it might be the shortest stint for Texas head coach history if he continues. Like, people are really thinking he can get fired. I don't know how much of a leash he has. I imagine it gets shortened a little bit in the event that there's any truth to the situation where people are accusing him of being upset about losing a recruit to Ohio State. I think if there's any bad news that comes out of that situation, I think the leash is shortened a bit, but he's going to have to win some games. USC, you wanted to check on what they were doing? They were actually favored. It was a minus 25. It was actually one of the games I was going to pick, and AJ kind of convinced me out of it, because I didn't know, like, with the way the pick 'em worked, I assumed that when you picked the game straight up, it was just whether or not they win or not. I didn't know that if it was minus 25, that meant that USC had to win by 25 points as well. I didn't know that. So I immediately changed my pick. But they did what they didn't win by 25. They won by like 22 or 23. So USC might be legit. You know what I mean? And they're gonna face them.
Well, K-State struggled, so I think that'll be good for Texas. They get Tulsa and Kansas State, and the rest of them, well,
he's going to need Tulsa to be like a momentum builder, like a confidence builder going into that USC game. So
yeah, they need to blow Tulsa out and get some work done. A couple other scores from college football. As you know, Michigan, we talked about that, fell to Notre Dame 24-17. Had a chance, I think. They got the ball back with a couple minutes left in that game. Were not able to pull that off. Now people are already talking about Harbaugh being on the hot seat, as Eric called earlier. Auburn, I thought, and I guess you could call it a mild upset. Not really, but I mean, number 9 knocks off number 6, Washington, 21-16. And then LSU just absolutely destroys number 8 Miami 33-17. So pretty interesting opening weekend in college football. If it didn't get you excited for the season, I don't know what will, because there were some good upsets, some good football that took place all weekend long, including tonight. There's another game, so it doesn't stop.
There you have it. There you have it, man. I guess that wraps up 1 hour, man. That hour went by pretty quickly.
Yeah, that was way too fast. All right, we'll be back right after this. It's Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Seven, five.